In this video, we'll explain how to extend your on-premises data center to Microsoft Azure. We'll walk through the data center extension reference architecture diagram to help you understand how it can help you with your own data center extension. In this video, we assume that many organizations have experimented with Microsoft Azure at this point by implementing some virtual machines for proof of concepts, dev test environments, or even production applications, using other Azure services such as storage, backup, or site recovery services. They probably have one or more Azure subscriptions. They may or may not have connected Azure to their on-premises network. They may be using Microsoft accounts to manage their subscriptions rather than organizational accounts. Note, if you're so new to Azure that these terms and concepts are foreign, check out the introductory information at http://azure.microsoft.com/campaign/supercharge-with-vms/, then watch this again. Many organizations are ready to move beyond experimentation or some initial projects and actually integrate their network, name resolution, Active Directory, and identities with Azure so they can treat it as an extension of their on-premises data center. So now what? Many would probably start by asking themselves, what would that even look like? Our goals are to provide a diagram of what it would look like by bringing together many Azure design concepts into a single diagram, paralleling the Azure design concepts to on-premises design concepts to help bridge the less familiar with the more familiar, not overloading the diagram with a lot of text, provide ability to interactively learn more about parts of the diagram by turning parts of the diagram on and off, viewing detailed example implementation data when needed, learning about design and implementation guidance by clicking on objects in it. While the diagram might not look like much now, don't worry. It will have a lot more over the course of this video. First, I want you to see how this image can be scaled up or down with no distortion. Watch what happens when I change my browser magnification to 400%. As you can see, I just magnified the image by 400% and the text is not distorted. This makes it easy to zoom in and out to see detail without it becoming blurry. That's good to know, but we'll shrink it back down to normal size for the rest of the video. I'm also going to make it full screen. The next thing to know is that the diagram is interactive. For example, notice that when I point to usage, a light blue highlight appears around it. If I were to click it, the highlight color changes to dark blue, and the text around the object appears in the box. I won't cover the text that just appeared right now because we'll be covering it throughout this video. Just know that clicking any object in the diagram, including lines, even the really small ones, will display additional information about the object in the box. Notice that even though I pointed my mouse at release notes, it's highlighted in light blue. The text in the box is still what I saw when I clicked on usage. The reason for this is that hovering over an object won't change the text in the box. Clicking it will change it. Now that I've clicked release notes, the text in the box has changed to the release notes for this release. We can see that the release version is 6-30-2015. This is important to note because new features are constantly added to Azure, so depending on the date that you're watching this video, this information may already be out of date. The key changes from previous release describes the key changes since the last release of this diagram. If you never saw the previous release, you can ignore this, but if you did see the previous version, you'll want to read through this information. The most important thing to know is that this release illustrates a design based on the scope of this release and current Azure features, which are added frequently. You shouldn't treat this release as a migration from the previous release. This is simply a new release. If I were to click the diagram legend text, we'd see additional information about the use of different colors and shapes in the diagram. We won't look at these details at this time because we'll cover all that information throughout the video. So without further delay, let's see more of the diagram. During the remainder of this video, we'll look at what a data center extension for Contoso, a fictional organization, looks like. When I click the word layers, a list appears. By checking and unchecking items on this list, I can show or hide parts of the diagram. This is helpful if you just want to see or learn more about specific parts of the diagram without displaying it all at the same time. I'll start by clicking On-Premises Security Zones layer. Clicking the word layers again closes the layers list. Now you can see that some additional objects appeared in the diagram. In this case, an on-premises data center and three gray boxes with some text. The gray boxes represent security zones. Many organizations use the concept of security zones so that they can define security policies that are applied to the servers, services, and data within them, as well as for the network traffic that enters and exits the zone. In our on-premises data center, we've illustrated perimeter, internal, and storage security zones, which are similar to zones that might exist in your organization. Clicking the word perimeter shows information about this zone, like the fact that only servers that need to be accessible from the internet reside in this zone. You might not have noticed, but the type of information that appeared is different than the type of information that appeared when I clicked the question mark earlier. The same type of data will appear when you click objects of the same type, though the values of the data types are going to be different. The data types will be different across different types of objects. There's a spreadsheet that includes all the data that displays in the text box, but it also includes the data that is not displayed. You can download this spreadsheet and modify it for your own environment if you like. When I click the word internal, a blue outline appeared around the gray box. Notice that there's some white space to the right of it that represents the internal security zone. I'll talk more about that white space in a bit. Organizations can define policies and security zones in Azure too. You can see that after turning on the Azure Security Zones layer. The diagram now also shows Azure in some gray boxes within the same highlighted boxes we just saw a moment ago when we turned on the on-premises security zone layer. It also shows two security zones that didn't exist in the on-premises data center, the public applications and support services zones. We'll talk more about these security zones and what's in them in a bit. Keep in mind that security zones are just a concept for defining policies. Those policies apply to servers, services, and data. Turning on the on-premises application layer populates the diagram with some servers. The servers are represented in little squares here in the on-premises data center. The images in some of the squares have the same icons, and some are the same color. At this point, we really don't know what the icons and colors represent. When I click this square, you can see information that tells us that it represents the presentation tier for the commercial department's application 1, because that's what's listed in the role description section of the box. We can learn a little more about the purpose of this tier by reading what's listed for detail, as well as information such as the Active Directory domain its servers are a member of, its cluster IP address, the type of hardware resources it utilizes, and other information. Note that the hardware specifications are aligned to an Azure virtual machine configuration, even though it's for an on-premises server. The Azure hardware configurations are mapped to an on-premises server because Contoso plans to continue migrating servers to Azure, and it knows it'll be easier to do so if their server configurations are mapped to Azure configurations. This Contoso-specific information is provided only to serve as a detailed example of what commonly exists in on-premises data centers. Your data center configuration will likely have similarities and differences from this example. Before we go on, let me explain a little more about what we're looking at. The little icon on the server in this square represents the role of the server. From the data we just looked at in the box, we know that the role of the server is that of presentation, or web server. Therefore, all servers in the diagram that have the globe icon are presentation servers. From the role description, we also see that this is part of the presentation tier for application 1. In this case, the light purple color of the server is used to represent application 1. All other servers that are this color also support application 1. Notice that the server is represented with a square around it. The square around the server means that this server is running in a virtual machine, not a physical machine. It could be run on a physical machine, and if it were, it would have been represented without the square around it. You can also see that the tier is really a stack of two virtual machines. The top box contains the server image, but we can also see another box underneath it. This shows that for presentation tier for application 1, we're using two servers running virtual machines and not one. Throughout the diagram, when you see stacks of servers, the stack represents the minimum number of servers that are typically used to provide the server role with high availability. In this way, if one server performing the role were to fail, at least one other server would survive to provide the role. Additional servers could be used to provide even higher levels of availability or scalability for the tier. For example, since this server is the same color as the last one, we can assume that it's also providing a server role for application 1. However, since it has a different icon, we don't know what that role is yet. By clicking the tier, we see now that the role description for this tier is for application 1, and that the role it performs is that of business logic server. We now know what the icon for business logic servers looks like. We now know what two of the icons represent, but there's one more we don't, so let's take a look at a virtual machine that has a different color and different icon. Since this server is a different color from the last two, we can assume that it's not supporting application 1. It also has a different icon than the other servers. Let's learn more about it. Based on the data for role description we see here, we can confirm the server supports the marketing department's application 2 and not the commercial department's application 1. We can also see that it's a database tier, so now we know what the database icon looks like. From the data in the box, we can see that this is a SQL Server always-on availability group, which is used to provide high availability for the application's database. See this more information link at the bottom of the box? While not all of the objects in the diagram have a more information link, many of them do, particularly the objects in the Azure side of the diagram. Clicking that link for objects that have them will open a new browser tab that contains a detailed design or implementation article about the object. In this case, a new tab opened with an article about SQL Server always-on availability groups, so you could learn more about them if you wanted to. So far, we know that there are two applications, each with a presentation, business logic, and database tier, that are deployed in the on-premises data center. Remember that earlier we looked at the detailed information for the perimeter security zone? Given each zone's security policies, we know why different server roles are deployed in the different security zones. In this case, application 1 is used by the public over the internet, and application 2 is a private application that's used only by Contoso's employees. In your organization, you probably have several applications of each type. We can deploy applications in Azure in a similar manner. The orange servers support the HR department's application 4. The reason all these servers are orange is because they're all in the same Azure resource group and are managed by the HR department. We can see that the presentation tier is a resource in the HR-04 resource group, and that the users and permissions for it are inherited from the resource group. Azure includes a number of role definitions. Each role is able to do specific things, such as creating a virtual machine. The roles are assigned to resources, such as virtual machines. Users or groups from Azure Active Directory can be assigned to different roles. The roles and users and groups can be assigned to resource groups and inherited by the resources within each resource group. Additionally, roles and permissions can be assigned to specific resources within a resource group. This gives Contoso a lot of flexibility in the management of their Azure resources. For this application, The HRIT team has ownership of the resource group, and those permissions are inherited by all resources within the group. Resource groups are a big change in the way resources are managed in Azure. This change was a key reason Contoso chose to create all of their Azure resources within a single Azure subscription. Before the recent introduction of resource groups into Azure, the only way you could really enable different groups within an organization so that you could manage different Azure resources separately was to create the resources in separate subscriptions. Subscriptions have different scaling limits that Contoso knows will eventually exceed, but they'll address those issues if and when they get close to any of the subscription limits. Let's look at some of the information about the Azure virtual machines that's unique to Azure and not necessary for the on-premises servers. We see the Azure availability set name and the Azure cloud service name. If you've already experimented with Azure, you've no doubt come across these terms, but you may or may not have understood their purpose in a larger scale context. You'll find that all servers in each tier of each application is in its own cloud service and in its own availability set. Other than these key differences, this three-tier application exists in virtual machines similar to the on-premises applications. In this diagram, all tiers for the application are deployed together in an on-premises or Azure data center. That doesn't have to be the case. Contoso could have deployed tiers of each application in either data center and likely will in the future based on different requirements and objectives. Now that we've seen how Contoso deployed a VM-based application in Azure, let's look at the other application they've deployed, which is implemented using the Azure App Service and Azure SQL Database. These services are great because they eliminate the need for Contoso to have to supply software updates to operating systems. Also, based on the pricing tiers they've selected for these services, they also don't need to manage backups either. We'll talk more about that in a bit, but first, a little about the application. Notice that these services are in a security zone called Public Applications and not Perimeter, as was the case for the on-premises public-facing application. Though some of the security policies are the same in this zone as in the perimeter zone, anytime usernames and passwords are transmitted to web applications in either zone must be encrypted, for example, some of the security policies are different in this zone than they are in the perimeter zone. For example, while administrators can remote desktop into the virtual machines in the perimeter zone, they can't into these services because they're not running on virtual machines that Contoso can connect to. Similarly, patch management policies that are applied to operating systems and services on the on-premises perimeter network would not be applied to the public application security zone, since you, as a consumer of the cloud service, have no control over patches applied to the virtual machines that support these services. This is the public-facing application, like the VM application we just discussed, but with some stark differences. Like the use of color for the previous application, all of the icons for Azure resources here are purple. This represents the fact that all of these resources are contained within the same resource group. In this case, the resource group is managed by the commercial IT team, the same team that manages the public-facing application on-premises. Like all the other applications we've covered, this application has a presentation tier, a business logic tier, and a database tier. None of these tiers are implemented in virtual machines as the previous app was. If we look at the presentation tier, we can see that this is an Azure web app, which is one of multiple types of applications that can be deployed with the Azure App Service. Contoso has configured their on-premises DNS servers to resolve com3.contoso.com to this web app so that their users don't have to use the default Azure-created name for the application. The default domain name doesn't have their corporate domain name in the URL. Web apps are deployed to an Azure App Service plan. Looking at some of the other data, we see that the app plan is configured using the standard S1 pricing tier. App service plans are available at different pricing tiers. Each plan includes different features and capabilities. Contoso selected the standard S1 plan because it included automated backups, as well as the ability to deploy their application to multiple staging environments called deployment slots. Staging environments allow Contoso to easily have their application running in production, which is the deployment slot this application is currently in, deploy test copies of the next version of their application to the same app service plan in a test deployment slot, and quickly and easily swap each of the sites their custom domain name resolves to when they're ready to move the test application into production. Deployment slots also give them the opportunity to quickly swap their previous production application back into production if the former test application that's now in production has a significant problem. One last thing to look at here are tags. Tags are another new Azure capability. Contoso defined department and environment tags, and then set the value for these tags to commercial and production, because this is the department that manages the application and the environment that this web app is in. This tagging strategy enables them to query all their Azure resources and easily know which resources are managed by which group in their organization, as well as which environment, such as production, development, and test, that each application is part of. Contoso defines and sets tag values for all their resource groups and individual resources. Unlike assignments of roles and permissions, tags are not inherited by resources within a resource group. Contoso sets them on both the resource groups and their resources so they can sort their resources in multiple ways. Now let's take a look at the business logic tier. As we can see, this is just another Azure web app, albeit a different web app than one we just looked at, running on an app service plan, but in a different app service plan than the last application. As we can see, this icon looks like a web app icon, but it also has gears in it. This icon represents web jobs. Web jobs are application code that can run continuously or on a scheduled basis that does background processing that supports the web app we just discussed. Web jobs actually run within a web app, which is why the data we see specifies the web app name and app service plan name on which the web jobs execute. The web jobs could have run with a separate presentation tier web app code in the presentation web app. They could also have run as a separate web app, but using the same app service plan as the presentation tier. Contoso chose to implement the web jobs as both a separate web app running on a separate app service plan from their presentation tier app because their web jobs scale differently and they wanted completely separate resources for both their presentation and business logic tier applications. The code in the presentation tier web app interacts with the code in the business logic tier via the URL of the business logic tier app. The business logic tier app does not have a custom domain name, as end users never need to interact with the application directly. The last tier to cover is the data tier. Here we see an Azure SQL database. This provides Contoso most of the same functionality they get with SQL Server running in a virtual machine, but they don't need to manage an operating system or SQL Server. They only have to worry about their database. They've decided to use the standard S0 pricing tier, which provides the performance and scale they need for their COM03 application, and it comes with a 4.9 SLA, which is as good, if not better, than the SLA they've been able to provide their users on most of the SQL databases they manage in their own data center. Now that we've talked about the applications, let's look at what Contoso uses for data storage. While Contoso's on-premises database servers could store their data locally, like most organizations, Contoso instead stores the data in high-performance centralized storage in their data center. These servers are part of a scale-out file server cluster. Notice how these aren't represented with boxes around the servers. The reason for this is that Contoso has implemented them as physical servers and not virtual machines. This cluster provides low-cost, high-performance database storage for Contoso's database servers. Now let's look at storage on the Azure side of the diagram. Azure provides its own storage so that we don't have to implement or manage storage servers or storage arrays like Contoso has to do on-premises. Like the servers we looked at previously, the storage is color-coded based on the subscription with which it's associated. Each subscription utilizes a single Azure storage account. A storage account can include tables, queues, blobs, and files. Before creating any of their virtual machines or configuring their Azure web app or SQL database, Contoso pre-created a storage account for each resource group. When Contoso created the virtual machines for their HR04 application, they specified the appropriate storage account. Azure created a blob storage container called VHDs within their HR04 storage account, which is what we're looking at now. It then placed a virtual hard disk file for each virtual machine within that container. Within that same HR04 storage account, Contoso created an Azure Files file share to use as a file share witness for their SQL Server always-on availability group. This met their needs and was less expensive than creating another virtual machine used solely to host a share to serve as their file share witness. Before creating their presentation and business logic tier web apps, Contoso created two containers in their COM03 storage account. Each container stores the backup for their presentation and business logic tier web apps. Like many organizations, Contoso uses Active Directory on-premises for user authentication and for centralized management of its servers. Here we have a stack of two Active Directory domain controllers. Of course, the servers in this stack are not load balanced, but users in the internal security zone can communicate with them. Looking at the data for these servers, you can tell that they are domain controllers in the internal.contoso.com Active Directory domain. These servers also serve as DNS servers for this DNS zone. All servers in the internal and storage security zones are members of this domain. Here we have another stack of two Active Directory domain controllers. Looking at the data for the servers, we see that their domain controllers for a different domain, the perimeter.contoso.com Active Directory domain. These servers also serve as DNS servers for this DNS zone. All servers in the perimeter security zone are members of this domain. This domain trusts the internal.contoso.com domain, though it's a one-way trust. This enables Contoso's administrative staff to manage servers in all security zones using a single Active Directory account. If their perimeter domain were compromised, the attacker couldn't use credentials from that domain to do any harm within the internal domain. Just as Contoso has domain controllers on-premises, they also have them in Azure. These servers are domain controllers in the internal.contoso.com domain, and they replicate with the on-premises domain controllers for the domain. Like their on-premises counterparts, they also serve as DNS servers for the domain, and all virtual machines in the Azure internal security zone are members of the domain. The internal domain is effectively stretched across both the on-premises and Azure data centers. It's helpful to have domain controllers near the servers that use them in both on-premises and Azure data centers in order to minimize latency. This setup also enables each data center to work without a dependency on the other. Note that the domain controllers are also in their own resource group, and their VHDs are stored in a VHD container for their own storage account. We can see that the servers are in the INF.AD resource group, which is managed by Contoso's directory team. Notice that there are no domain controllers in the public application zone. Remember, Contoso is using an Azure web app and an Azure SQL database for the application. These are hosted on services that aren't running in virtual machines like Contoso's other application tiers. Since there is no virtual machine to manage and users don't authenticate to the application using Active Directory accounts, there is no need for a domain controller in this zone. If they did have VM-based applications running in the zone, they could have certainly run domain controllers in this domain and made them members of the perimeter.contoso.com Active Directory domain, just like domain controllers in their perimeter zone on-premises. Now that we've seen the servers and storage and the infrastructure, let's talk about the network. We can now see the on-premises network backbone for Contoso. We see that it's connected to the internet through a router. We also see several network switches which connect multiple individual network segments that comprise the backbone. Clicking on one of the switches, we can learn more about it. We can do the same with one of the network segments. Sometimes it's a little hard to get the mouse over the line, but once you do and click it, you'll see details for whichever segment you've clicked on. While simplified for the diagram, your network probably looks similar to Contoso's. Layer 11 has some network segments connected to the on-premises network backbone. We can see that in some cases, a single server role is on its own segment, like the perimeter DCs, whereas in other cases, we see that multiple server roles are on the same segment, as in the case with the presentation of business logic tiers of Application 2. Contoso segmented their network so they could implement network access controls to network segments rather than to individual servers. They did this to reduce the management overhead for maintaining their network access controls. The on-premises network access control layer adds two firewalls to the network. One firewall controls network traffic between the internet and Contoso's perimeter security zone, while the other controls traffic between the perimeter and internal security zones. So if we go back and look at the perimeter DCs again, Contoso dedicated a subnet to them because they wanted to control network access by allowing only DNS and domain controller communications to them. They combined the presentation and business logic tiers for App 2 on the same segment because they allow the same ports to them, which are TCP 80 and 443, since both tiers are web servers. Contoso implements its access controls at the subnet level rather than the individual server level because it minimizes the amount of firewall roles they have to maintain. This approach also prevents them from needing to make firewall role changes every time a new server is added to a segment. Contoso could further control access with access control lists for each of their switches, but they're not doing that at this time. Now let's look at the Azure network. We can see that the Azure network is connected to the internet as well as to Azure web apps and SQL database. We can also see a firewall that provides port filtering, distributed denial of service protection, a distributed virtual firewall, and IDS IPS technologies to protect the Azure network and all customers from the internet. Contoso doesn't connect their virtual machines directly to the Azure network. They first had to create a virtual network to connect their virtual machines to. That's this small gray line. We can see details about the network, such as the DNS server defined for it. Azure automatically configures any virtual machine that you connect to a network with the DNS server you specify for the virtual network. Like on-premises, Contoso is able to create network subnets on their Azure Virtual Network, too. The network segments we see here are separated using a similar approach to the network segmentation strategy used on-premises. Virtual machines running in the same services are on the same subnet. Similar to their on-premises approach, part of the reason Contoso segmented their network the way they did was to enable them to implement network access controls on subnets, rather than managing controls to individual servers. Though they use firewalls on-premises in Azure, they use network security groups, which are represented by these red funnels to control access between subnets. When I click on one of the network security groups, you can see more about it, but what we won't see is the source and destination and port roles configured for each of them. This information can be found in the spreadsheet using the link on the diagram's download page. Contoso configured network access control rules using network security groups that are similar to the rules that they configure on their firewalls on-premises. We've covered network connectivity, so now let's see how Contoso load balances between servers and some of their server stacks. We can now see that a bunch of tridents have appeared. These represent the on-premises load balancers. On-premises, Contoso uses hardware load balancers to load balance traffic across the servers in the stacks where we see load balancers. We don't see load balancers in front of the perimeter and internal Active Directory domain controllers or the scale-out file server cluster, because traffic to these servers is not load balanced because they have their own high availability strategies. In Azure, we load balance the same types of servers as we did on-premises. Here we see load balancers in front of all of the HR04 tiers. Azure has two types of load balancers: external load balancers, which are used for traffic coming from the internet, and internal load balancers, which are used for traffic coming from within an Azure virtual network. Contoso is using only internal load balancers because none of the traffic to their HR04 application comes from the internet. We'll discuss where it does come in from in a later layer. Though the COM03 app does have traffic that comes directly from the internet, since it's a web app, Contoso does not have to configure a load balancer for it. The service takes care of load balancing for them. So now we see that Contoso is able to configure virtual machines, servers, storage, and networks in Azure in many ways similar to how they do it on premises. Now let's look at some supporting infrastructure that Contoso just has on premises, because they currently have no need to have similar infrastructure in Azure. Contoso currently uses System Center Operations Manager to monitor their servers. On the perimeter network, you can see an Operations Manager gateway on a subnet dedicated to the Operations Manager gateway function. An Operations Manager gateway is used so that systems located on networks in a lower trust security zone can be centrally monitored. Agents installed on the servers in the perimeter network send their information to the Operations Manager gateway. The gateway then sends this information to the Operations Manager management server on the internal network through a secure channel that uses certificate-based authentication to establish trust between the gateway server on the perimeter network and the management server on the internal network. The Operations Manager management server on the internal network is located on a subnet dedicated to the management server function. Notice that neither the gateway servers nor the management servers are clustered. These servers do not need to be clustered to provide fault tolerance because the Operations Manager agents are aware of the names of the servers they need to communicate with. If the first server they try to contact isn't available, the agent will move to the next in the list and so on. There's also a database server on a subnet in the internal network that is dedicated to providing database services to the Operations Manager infrastructure. Contoso uses the Azure Application Insight service to gain deep insight into the performance of their custom web app. They'll use it to track usage, availability, and even use it to diagnose crashes. They had familiarized themselves with the service's capabilities before they wrote their web app and instrumented their application so that they could collect data about application and feature usage in order to make improvements in their application over time. Since they're new to the service, they've started with the free tier, which collects up to 7 days of raw data. Once they've gotten more familiar with the service, they'll evaluate upgrading to the standard or premium tiers. Over time, they'll think about whether to use this service to gain insights on some of their existing applications that are hosted both on Azure and in their on-premises data center. Contoso needs to support public DNS services. They have two sets of DNS servers in the diagram. Each is connected to its own subnet on the front end, and each has a back-end interface connected to a shared subnet that they're both administered through. As you can see, the role of the first set is that of DNS resolvers. These servers resolve internet host names for all of Contoso's internal servers and PCs. Both the internal and perimeter Active Directory servers that also serve as DNS servers forward DNS requests to these servers using one as a primary and the other as a secondary DNS resolver. These other DNS servers have the role of DNS advertisers. They resolve the names of Contoso's internet-facing servers for name resolution requests that come from the internet. In the diagram, those are the presentation servers for App01 and COM03 web app in Azure. Remember earlier when I mentioned that Contoso had configured a custom domain name for the COM03 web app? These DNS servers are what resolve the custom domain name for internet requesters to the Azure web app. Okay, so we have infrastructure in place both on-premises and in Azure, but by now, you're probably wondering how the servers in the two data centers communicate with each other. This is where our site-to-site network connection comes in. Contoso had two primary options for connecting their on-premises network to their Azure virtual networks. The first option was to use a site-to-site virtual private network, or VPN. It would give them up to 100 megabits per second bandwidth between the two data centers, where the traffic travels over the public internet and is secured by IPsec. The other option was to use Microsoft ExpressRoute. ExpressRoute would provide them with up to 10 gigabits per second of bandwidth, where the traffic travels over a dedicated WAN connection between the two data centers instead of over the public internet. Like most organizations, Contoso wanted to start their data center extension with acceptable connectivity, a base infrastructure in place, and some initial applications. They currently use a site-to-site VPN connection to connect their Azure virtual network to their on-premises network. As they add more applications in the future, they plan to migrate to an ExpressRoute connection. Regardless of how they chose to connect their Azure virtual network with their on-premises network, Contoso still had to configure a gateway to connect their Azure virtual network to their on-premises network. We can see that Contoso is using an Azure high-performance gateway to connect their virtual network to their on-premises network. Remember earlier I told you that Contoso only needed to use an internal load balancer for their HR04 app? That's because this is an internal-only application. It's accessed by their employees from their on-premises data center over this link. We've covered what Contoso put in each data center and how they connected the two data centers, so let's talk about the server administrative experience a bit. To administer the servers in either data center, Contoso administrators log in with their internal.contoso.com Active Directory domain accounts. However, with their Azure servers, Contoso's administrative staff also has an additional layer of management to contend with, and that's logging into the Azure Management Portal and being able to create and manage Azure objects, such as virtual machines and networks, as we've talked about. When you set up an Azure subscription, you connect the subscription to an account. The account can be a Microsoft account, such as jimd@outlook.com, or an organizational account, such as jimd@contoso.com. The downside of using a Microsoft account is that if the person sets up organizational resources using it and were to leave the company, the control of the Azure objects goes with that user. Given that, it's likely you'll want to connect organizational accounts to your subscriptions. To do that, there are a few steps you need to complete first. The first step is to set up an Azure Active Directory tenant. If you're currently using Office 365, then you already have an Azure Active Directory tenant. We want to see some details about it in the box. If I were to click the link in the box, a new browser tab would open with an article about how to set that up. The next thing you need to do is install and configure a Microsoft Azure Active Directory sync tool, which is running on a dedicated server here, and is connected to the same subnet as the internal Active Directory server. Note that it's running on a single server and not on multiple servers. If that server were to fail, you would just replace it with a new server. Finally, you see this dashed line. The directory synchronization server communicates with the internal.contoso.com domain controllers and synchronizes the accounts to your Azure Active Directory tenant. This is a one-way synchronization from your on-premises directory to Azure Active Directory. If you want your administrators to be able to use the same credentials when they log into the Azure Management Portal that they use when they log into on-premises resources, then you can synchronize passwords with the accounts. This provides the same sign-on experience. Though the administrators are actually authenticating to the on-premises resources and the Azure resources using two sets of credentials, they will be using the same usernames and passwords. If instead you want to enable single sign-on between on-premises and Azure resources so that your administrators can authenticate once and administer on-premises and Azure resources, then in addition to synchronizing your directories, you'll want to federate your on-premises Active Directory with your Azure Active Directory tenant. In this scenario, you might choose not to synchronize passwords since it's unnecessary when you federate. After adding the federation layer, we can see some new servers, subnets, and dashed lines. I'll explain how the federation works in a moment, but let's start with what it enables. Imagine that I'm an administrator at Contoso. I come to work in the morning and log into my PC using the same Active Directory username and password that I normally use. When I'm ready to administer my Azure resources, I can open my browser to the Azure Management Portal. I won't be prompted for authentication credentials if I'm federated, whereas if I weren't federated and just synchronized my on-premises AD with my Azure AD, I would be prompted for credentials. So what's happening here? Well, assume that you set up the Windows Server Web Application Proxy and the federation servers like what we have in the diagram, and that you federated your on-premises Active Directory with Azure Active Directory. You can read guidance on how to do this by clicking on the More Information link in the box. After federating, when the administrator goes to the Azure Management Portal, he doesn't use the default URL, which is manage.windowsazure.com. Instead, he uses manage.windowsazure.com/contoso.com. The portal parses the URL and extracts the contoso.com domain name, then redirects to Azure AD, passing that domain name to it. Azure AD looks up the ADFS server for Contoso.com and redirects the administrator's browser to the web application proxies. The web application proxies then communicate securely through the firewall with the federation servers, which validate credentials with the internal.contoso.com Active Directory servers. Once credentials are validated, they're passed back to Azure AD and back to the management portal, and the user is logged in. Of course, this multi-step process is oblivious to the administrator once the federation is established. Note that both the web application proxies and federation servers are on their own subnets, so that network access controls can be easily applied to them. Additionally, they each also have load balancers because traffic can be load balanced across the servers in each tier. We've now covered all components of Contoso's design. If you want to see all the IP addressing used for all devices and subnets in this diagram, turn the network details layer on. We recommend that if you do turn this layer on, you turn off all layers that contain servers and storage. Click Usage at the top right of the diagram for the layers we recommend you turn off when viewing the network details layer, as the diagram will be too difficult to read with all layers on. Similar to layer 25, this layer provides all the pertinent network detailed information without your needing to click every network object, and that does include all the small network segments in the diagram that you can also click on for data to piece it together. You might periodically configure the layers this way to get a big picture view of the network details, or maybe even to print it off separately. With all the text in this layer, I'll go out of full screen so I can zoom this in so we can see it better. As I pointed out earlier, zooming in makes the text bigger, but not blurry. So we've now been through the entire diagram. We plan to update the diagram on a regular basis based on your feedback and with additional functionality that we'd like to include. I want to emphasize how important your feedback is to influencing where we go next with it. Please take a few moments to rate the content, and on the download and video pages, please ask questions or provide feedback, as we'll watch these and respond regularly. Be sure to check back occasionally to see when new versions of the diagram and video are released. Under Additional Resources down at the bottom of the page, the first link is to the video you're watching now. The web page for the video has links to go straight to the portions of the video where each layer is discussed. There's also a link to download the script that was used to record this video if you'd rather just go through that. You can also download an editable version of the Visio diagram that was used to create the diagram on this page. Finally, you can download the Excel spreadsheet that contains all the data you saw in the diagram, as well as additional data that isn't in the diagram. I've mentioned that a few times, so I'm going to open the spreadsheet and show you what I mean. The data we saw in each object in the diagram were the values in the columns for specific rows in the spreadsheet. Remember the little red funnels on the Azure Virtual Network segments I showed you? When we clicked one, we saw the properties for the network security group, but we didn't see all the rules. Here we see the rules in each of the network security groups. If you want to pair them up with the appropriate network security group, you can see that the network security group name the rules are for is listed in this column. When you see these gray boxes, that's just letting you know that we didn't forget to put data there. We just didn't have any applicable data for that cell. You might also find comments in cells. They're the ones with the red triangle in the top right corner that provide some further explanation too. Take, for example, the host name column. By viewing its comment, we get more detail on what naming convention was used for the servers. Though I'm sure you already have your own naming convention, you may still find the examples useful. Most of the comments are found in the column headings, though in some cases, you might find a comment on a specific cell if we thought it was helpful to provide some additional information about that cell specifically. Most of the information we see in the spreadsheet is required to configure each of the items through either Azure Management Portal or PowerShell. You might decide to keep the worksheets and columns, but replace all the cell data with the information you use for your own data center extension. So now you've seen how to use the interactive diagram in the spreadsheet that accompanies it. If you'd like to learn more about Azure, there's a great free course that was presented in December of 2014 that goes into deeper detail about many of the topics we discussed today. If you haven't experimented with Azure, we encourage you to take advantage of a free one-month trial to see how fast and easy it is to implement different parts of the diagram that we covered in this video. Thank you for your time, and good luck with your data center extension into Microsoft Azure.